I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We bring in EJ Raddick. He's the senior reporter from NHL Network, host of NHL Now. EJ, how are you?
I'm good. I'm probably not as good as all the Ranger fans that are listening, excited about a crazy Game 7, a crazy series that went back and forth. And in the end, the Rangers found a way to win those last three games and win the series. So just a crazy, crazy series. One of the stranger ones, Laurie, I've seen in a while. But for the Ranger fans who won, they don't care how strange it is. They want to win. And for the Penguin fans who lost, they're pretty sour no matter how it turned out. So great win for the Rangers tonight.
Yeah, let's start with, we'll get to what makes it strange, but the let's start with Rangers down 3-1 in this series, and nobody will delude themselves into thinking that a big part of this had to do with an injury to Sidney Crosby, you know, being a part, a factor of changing momentum. But still, I know when you and I had talked about this series and you talked about some of that desperate hunger that a veteran Penguins team with an all-time great player like Crosby had, you know, seeing their window closing, for what does it say about a young Rangers team that they were able to come back when they were down 3-1?
Well, I mean, it says a lot. I mean, no matter what the circumstance, and we'll talk about some of the things that happened, but no matter what the circumstance, you still have to find ways to win the games and score the goals. And, you know, tonight's a great example. I mean, they scored the first goal, which is always a good indicator in any hockey game. Mm-hmm. Certainly in a game, certainly in a game seven, where I think it's 75% you win game sevens when you score first.
Yep.
And there were three yesterday, and the team that scored first won the games, right? So Rangers scored first, seemingly a good start. Fall behind has been the case in these last couple of games, Laurie, which, I mean, we can't underestimate. I mean, they were down in game five, 2-0, and down in game six, 2-0. They fall behind 2-1. They fall behind 3-2. The clock is ticking down. Tonight, and they find a way to get it tied up, and then they get to win it in overtime and on a power play goal. So, you know, I think it says a lot for the Rangers that they continue to battle, they continue to hang in there, they played the full 60 minutes plus. And so, yeah, it says a lot when you can do that, no matter what the circumstance.
You mentioned first goal by Chris Kreider, and something that I, you know, one of my themes for this in win or lose, you know, before the game started, you have a game seven, and one of my points was stars need to be stars. Your best players have to rise above in that big moment in a game seven. And so what, you know, that first line from the Rangers so much earlier in the series, it felt like they were just being outclassed and a no-show almost in the first few games versus the Sidney Crosby line. But what, you know, describe the performance that you saw from that first line from the Rangers and from, you know, the importance of that Chris Kreider, that leadership of scoring that first goal.
Yeah, well, I mean, they took advantage of a good, you know, kind of a misplay by the Penguins in the neutral zone, and they got a 2-on-1, and, you know, Kreider was able to score. And, you know, you go back, some of the guys have even referenced it in the post game today about, you know, the Banajad on the bench in game six looking at the iPod or the iPad to, you know, the guys go to the iPad all the time about things that happen in the games. And the Banajad was looking to see what he could have done better on a play breakaway or a chance when he hit the post. And Kreider grabbed the iPad and just threw it to the ground. You know, and his thinking was, you know, hey, listen, you beat him. Don't second-guess yourself. Just play. And that's, you know, I think we probably talked a little bit about it last week. I mean, Chris Kreider has been – he's been a leader by example this year in a lot of ways. I kind of felt like, again, my own personal feeling is that he would love to have that C on his jersey.
Yes.
But without even having it, he wants to be a leader. He wants to send that message, I'm a leader on this team. And that was another example of like, hey, don't waste time looking at something. You beat the guy. Hit the post. That's life. You know, don't overthink it. Don't second guess yourself. And, you know, Zibanejad, I mean, when you think about this comeback in this series, I mean, Zibanejad in the last two games, Laura, he had 7 points.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points. Tonight he won 72% of his faceoffs. He got the tying goal in the game, made a good play in his own zone to create a turnover, and then was able to finish off the pass from Andrew Kopp. So, you know, he's been, you know, he really turned it up. And,
yep.
You know, this to me is part of, you know, getting into why the series was weird and Crosby being out. Like, the Rangers weren't getting a sniff mm-hmm. in Game 5.
Yep.
I mean, it was 2-0, Lori, and I mean, I was almost ready to turn it off because they were not getting a sniff. And then Crosby gets hurt. And then almost simultaneously, the Rangers kind of come to life. They score the 3 goals. The rest of the game becomes kind of a crazy game. Crosby doesn't play in Game 6. And I just think it allowed for Zibanejad and that line to kind of focus on offense again and maybe not getting so caught up with chasing Sidney Crosby around. And Zibanejad was able to bring that kind of confidence moving forward through this last couple of games of the series. He's kind of been a streaky guy in his career. And, boy, when he gets going, he's a really good player. I mean, that was one of the great trades of the Jeff Gorton era when Jeff was the general manager with the Rangers to get Mika Zibanejad for Derek Brassard. I mean, a player that was 6 or 7 years younger. It's kind of hard to believe that he was able to pull off that trade. But Zibanejad's still paying dividends all these years later. And, you know, that was the thing to me. Just like those guys got going when they had to. And even when the Rangers were down, they just found ways to score goals. I mean, in the games against Louis Domingue, you know, he's not a very good goalie, and, you know, it's maybe a hair easier. But tonight they were facing Tristan Jarry. I know he hadn't played. It looked like he was limping towards the end of things. I know in the press conference he kind of limped out of the room, so maybe he's not at 100%. But, you know, he played pretty well tonight in the game, and they had to find ways to put the puck past him, and they did.
Speaking of people who played well in a Game 7. So Igor Shesterkin, you know, the Rangers we felt would have a massive advantage in goal in this series against, for most of it, a number 3 goalie. And tonight, you know, and Igor has been good, but the Rangers defense often breaking down. But tonight I thought Igor was, I thought, you know, for a Game 7 and his first Game 7 to make this sort of statement, I thought Igor was great and a difference maker tonight. How do you rate his performance?
Yeah, he played really well, Lori. I mean, Pittsburgh put 45 shots on goal in the game. They had a couple of, you know, there was a couple of flurries around the net where he was called upon to make big stops. So yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought he acquitted himself very well when you, as you mentioned, first Game 7 at the National Hockey League level. And, you know, this series was a battle for him. And you're right. At the start of the series, it was one of the reasons I picked the Rangers at the start of the series to win. Halfway through, I thought I was crazy. I was like, well, they're just getting completely outplayed. And then they come back and they find a way to win. But the biggest reason was that they were such a big advantage in goal with Jarry out of the mix. And even with DeSmith in there, who gets hurt early
right.
in the series in Game 1. I mean, it was just a big disparity. But Shesterkin struggled. And I
yeah.
mean, in Pittsburgh, those two games were a disaster. He got pulled twice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had to kind of battle through that. And, you know, that's athletes will tell you it's about confidence in all sports. And, you know, when you have a crisis of confidence, you know, your game, no matter who you are, could really suffer. And so you got to give him a lot of credit for hanging in there and finding his way. And I think you're right. I think he played a terrific game tonight. Maybe not the best game that he's played as a Ranger, but he played very well. and he gave them a chance to win, and that's all you can ever ask for.
Tuffy. Sorry. I may have... Oh, there we go. Oh,
well, there you go.
Stepped
there you
on
go.
One of, you know, Craig Carton's sound effect buttons in this studio. You never know. if your foot wanders, you know, it's like, you know, you hit the trap door and you go,
Lori, it's like the series, like I told you.
Exactly. Strange things happen. And you wander into trap doors and pitfalls and you have to figure out your way out of them, MacGyver your way out of them. So we talked about this being a strange series. So what made it so strange in your mind? I mean, I guess, you know, Sydney, a player getting hurt isn't necessarily strange. A young player, Igor Shesterkin, as great as he is, struggling at times in his first big sort of spotlight moment isn't necessarily strange. What were the things that made it strange to you?
Well, I mean, I guess the fact that, you know, you start right off this top, the Penguins are already down a goalie, and, you know, DeSmith then goes out kind of mysteriously in the middle of an overtime period.
Yeah, that
and
was
we
weird.
Later find and we later find out it was a serious injury that would keep him out for the remainder of the season, not just for the game.
Yeah, that was weird.
So that starts out weird. Then you have a guy comes in, Louis Domingue, who had played two games during the year, and he finds a way to get the win.
In triple overtime, yeah.
In triple over, he comes in, makes 17 saves.
Everybody on the road. Yeah, that's a little weird.
On the road, mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And, like, you know, he has this strange meal in between overtimes that nobody still can't figure out where you would get spicy pork and broccoli at the Garden if you're one of the visiting teams. But who knows? And then the series goes back to Pittsburgh. And, again, we figure the Rangers are having now even a bigger goaltending advantage. And the Vezina, the guy who's going to win the Vezina Trophy.
Right, best goalie all year,
He's going to win the Vezina Trophy. He's nominated for the MVP. He's terrible and gets pulled twice. and so now, you know, then you come into game five at the Garden, and you know, the Penguins get a 2-0 lead. And really, as I mentioned, the Rangers did not have a sniff. And then Crosby gets hurt. He leaves the game. And then, like I said, it's like magically, the Rangers score three goals in a short time. The Penguins tie it up. It gets into the Rangers find a way to win that game and stay alive. Now they go back to Pittsburgh. And, you know, I can tell you, Laurie, Mike Sullivan is a terrific coach. And we've talked about it from a national standpoint for 15, 16 years now. When Crosby's out, Malkin plays well. When Malkin's out, Crosby plays well. I'm thinking, you know what? Mike Sullivan will get his group together. They'll play good in game six, and that's probably going to be it. Well, Penguins come out. They get an early lead. They're playing well. What happens? They take a kind of dumb penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Rangers score on the power play. The Rangers score again. And the next thing you know, it's one of these crazy games where late in the game, a goal that should never go in goes off a guy's glove and over his head and into the net. And the Rangers win game six. And now we fast forward to game seven. Crosby comes back. Tristan Jarry comes back. Raquel comes back. The Rangers get the lead in the game, but the Penguins score twice. The Penguins have a second lead, and yet they still can't hold the lead with a veteran group, and the Rangers end up winning on a power play goal in overtime, which usually we don't see a ton of power plays in overtime. So, and it was a legit call. It was a holding call on the play by, I think it was McGinn, who held Miller. So like I said, it was just a crazy series that went all kinds of different ways. I haven't seen one like it in a while. And I would say for the Rangers, when you win in advance, it's great. And when things go your way, just be happy and smile and get ready for the next series. That's all you can do. So we'll see how they make out against Carolina.
Yeah, so a couple more. One is when you talk about that goal in overtime, when you score that game seven overtime goal, I was talking about redemption for Panarin. I just thought he had a terrible series and a bad game, and yet scores the game winner in overtime. And, you know, for all your perspective of covering the league and being around the league for a long time, Where does game seven overtime clinching goals go down in terms of NHL folklore?
Oh, they're high on the list. They're high on the list, and you know, all kinds of different guys can score them, right? I mean, we of course remember Stephane Matteau scoring the famous goal in '94, and you know, he wasn't the player of the ilk of Artemi Panarin, but you know, it was an interesting series for Panarin, and you know, there were times I thought that he was a factor, and there were times that he wasn't, but. You know, there's a lot of focus on a player like that. And, you know, tonight, for example, right, he had 12 shot attempts in the game. I mean, so that's a lot of shot attempts to get in a game seven for a star player. So, you know, we say, like, you know, we're not sure how he plays in some of these games, but he can make a difference,
yes.
I guess is what I'm saying. Like he can have a bad game or not really be involved a lot. And then, like tonight, he can come back and make a difference and score a goal. So it was good that he shot there. They gave him ice. He took it. He shot it. And again, like the series, it somehow found its way through three different bodies, because that shot could have easily deflected into the corner or something, and it went through and managed to find its way past Jari. But you know, he's one of those. Like I said, he's one of those guys that you focus on him. He's an $11 million player. He's when you watch him. Throughout the course of a regular season, he's just a dynamic player,
yes.
And a brilliant player to
brilliant
watch.
Brilliant player, yep.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, there were times.
I just thought some bad
again.
Penalties.
In and out.
A terrible
in and
penalty.
Out. Yeah, the penalty tonight was a terrible penalty behind the net when he.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to pick a guy's stick there. He wasn't close to getting
right.
That
what are you
stick.
Doing? What you know
yeah.
better?
And yeah.
Some things are luck. Some things happen. They're focusing on you. That with the way the Rangers, you know, your team doesn't need that. And the way the you know Penguins are converting on power plays, you know, what are you doing? So,
yeah.
Yet it's a story for redemption. We won't remember any of that. And years
that's
from
right.
now,
nobody
we won't
will remember that. There'll be all the fans who were there, all 90 or 100,000 that will remember they were at the Garden tonight. We'll look back and say, I was there when Artemi Panarin scored that game-winning goal, and we came back from a 3-1 deficit against Pittsburgh. And so, it was.
Well,
that's what great players you want them to do. You want them to step up in the right moment, and he was able to do that tonight.
Last one before I let you go. Gerard Gallant. I thought it very interesting that he was mixing up lines in this game, and just it seemed almost like a kitchen sink approach. Like, I'm just going to throw stuff out there. What did you think of his approach?
Well, I think he was, you know, all these coaches have a feel for who's going in a game. And I think they mentioned it a lot on the broadcast that Tyler Mott, who's come into the series late, he had missed some time, you know, that he had his legs and he had a breakaway in the game. And I got to tell you, Laurie, I watched a lot of Vancouver Canucks games this year. A lot because I became friendly with Bruce Boudreau, who worked with me at the NHL Network and then went on to coach the Canucks. And I'm watching all the league anyway. So, you know, I watch a lot of their games. And I can tell you, I've seen Tyler Mott on that breakaway many times, and he never scores. It's amazing because he's so fast and he works so hard and he gets opportunities. But that's why, you know, he's just a good energy player, because if he had that really those great hands to match, you know, that he would be much more than just that. But he's a player that is really can be very helpful to your team, and I think he was helpful in the series when he came back, and I think he'll be helpful against Carolina. But, you know, he was going tonight. So Gerard Gallant felt that, moved him up into the lineup, pushed him around a little bit, tried to get him some time. He's seen maybe some other guys he's not as comfortable with, game situations, we're in a tight game. Do I trust certain guys in certain moments? So I think that's an instinct for all the guys, especially guys like Gerard who played, and then this is, you know, I think his fourth, you know, stop as a coach, and certainly he's picked up a lot along the way. So he knows that, you know, every single shift can be vital, you know, really in every game, but in a game seven when it's, you know, win or go home, he's looking for every advantage. So, you know, in the end, it worked out for him. I mean, it was, like I said, there was a lot of strange things that happened throughout seven games, but, you know, Gerard Gallant found a way to push the right buttons in the game. And, you know, even on the power play, I think the word from on the broadcast from near the bench was that, he was kind of, letting Panarin know they're giving you the shot, take the shot.
Yep.
And, he walked in and took it, and, the rest, as they say, is history. So we'll see what happens against Carolina.
Yeah, they got to figure out. Rangers got to figure out that defensive structure just a little bit as they move on.
Yeah, I think, you know, Carolina played the Rangers three times late in the season. They beat them twice in the Garden, and the Rangers beat them in Carolina. But that was a game that Georgiev played and played very well, and made, I think, over 40 stops. So Carolina comes at you in waves. You know, they're a team that has a little bit of a goaltending issue because Freddie Anderson has been out of the lineup. Antti Raanta, the former Ranger, has played, but he's played very well. And he's a guy that when he's healthy, he can be a very good goaltender. He tends to get dinged up. We'll see how things unfold. We'll see if Freddie Anderson is able to come back. But I think the lineup that the Hurricanes have, I think 1 through 12 group of forwards and their group of defensemen is, on the whole, it's a pretty good ensemble cast, and I think that the Rangers will have their hands full.
All right. Well, we'll see if we keep this magic going for the Rangers, and will it turn into a hockey spring here in New York City? EJ Raddick from NHL Network, a senior reporter and also host of NHL Now. Appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
All right. You got it, Lori. My pleasure.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.